Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Today will be Tuesday, the 20th of February. We're at the end of this month already. Just seemed like last month we were at the end of last month. Anyway, we are in we're in John, the 14th chapter, and as you turn there, I ask you to please go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah, Encountering God Ministries. You can go to, or Encountering God, and then you can also go to my podcast, Tom and Sarah, Abounding Hope. You can like and share, comment on this Facebook page, and that really helps us out here. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, that would be great. And share the video. If you enjoy what God is saying, go ahead and share the video. Even if you don't, share the gospel. This is what we're doing. We're sharing the good news of the kingdom. All right, we're in John 14, the 14th chapter, and we're going to start off with verse 7. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and experienced him, talking about the Father. So Philip spoke up, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be all that we need. That's all that we need, just show us the Father. Jesus replied, Philip, I've been with you all this time and you still don't know who I am? How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father, for he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Believe that I live as one with the Father and that my Father lives as one with me. Or at least believe because of the mighty miracles that I have done. Now, I want to say we're going to comment on this for a second, then we'll go into verse 12. But here is the Father. Jesus said many times to the religious leaders of the day, I and my Father are one. He says that, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He says that I am. He's making himself equal with God. And yet Philip says, show us the Father. That's all that we need. Well, if you come to Jesus, if you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. You'll see what the Father is really like. He, in Matthew chapter 10, do these miracles, and this way you will show what the Father is really like. That's what the Father is really like. The miracles, the signs, the wonders. God loves you. He's not after you to beat you up. Get that. It doesn't matter what your earthly father has done. Your heavenly Father loves you deeply, cares about you deeply. Come on, somebody get excited about that. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Now, I've had the privilege and the honor of seeing Jesus face to face two times, at least two times that I know of, in visions. One time, I think I went to heaven. I don't know if it was a vision or not. I haven't gotten a confirmation about it that I really, really like. But I believe I went to heaven. And I saw Jesus there. I was in October 19th, 2019, I saw the Lord again. I saw his face. I remember I was in the healing rooms and my shoulder was hurt, my rotator cuff. And so I asked for prayer. They prayed for, the presence of God was so thick that the person who was going to pray for me fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. The people who were around me fell under the power of the Holy Ghost. And what happened next is really crazy because I'm on the floor and he says, kneel before me. So I did. I knelt before him. And, those of you who have been to Bethel, we used to have in a great room there, which was a pretty big room. We could seat about I don't know how many people, maybe 500 people at the most. And in the middle of the floor, every place is usually packed with people. This time, the middle was empty, and I saw a fire coming up. And the Lord said, lay before me. So I lay face down, prostrate before the Lord. And I remember I saw his face. And he spoke to me, and maybe sometime I'll share what he said. Those are the couple of times. I may have seen him more, but those are two times for sure that I've seen him. And if I've seen him, I've seen the Father. I do the works that he does to show what my Father, what his Father, what my Father is really like. God is good. He's never evil. He doesn't give you sickness. He doesn't get you in a car wreck so you'll get closer to him. He doesn't make you sick so you'll lie down and hear him. That may happen to you. And God uses it to draw you closer to him, but that doesn't mean that God gave it to you. Philip, have I been with you all this time and you still don't know who I am? Again, he uses God's name, I am. Don't you believe that the Father is living? Don't you believe that yet? 3.5 years he's with these disciples, and he still doesn't believe. He's seen all the miracles, and he still doesn't believe. So if you don't believe, at least believe because of the mighty miracles that I've done. He said that to the religious leaders, and now he's saying it to his disciples, the 12. Verse 12, I tell you this timeless truth, this eternal truth. Okay, remember, this is the last day that Jesus is on earth. And he's pouring himself into his disciples. Get this through your head. This is eternal. The person who follows me in faith, the person, this is the word pistis, which means absolute trust, surrendered trust in God, the same faith that Abraham had, okay, believing in him will do the same mighty miracles that I do. And then Jesus steps it up and says, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. Why is it he going to do greater miracles? How can you do greater miracles than what Jesus did? I don't know if that means in quality or quantity. But I do know this. Jesus said, you're going to do the works that I do, and then greater. Now, believe me, I've been born again for 50 years. And I haven't yet completed just doing what Jesus did, let alone the end greater. I remember, and I'll share this, I remember the first 5 people I prayed for had cancer and they died. I got kind of sheepish about praying for people because those 5 people who I prayed for died. It was scary. I'm like, dear Jesus, help me. And it got to a point where I didn't want to pray for healing for anybody anymore because I didn't want them to die. Remember a guy came up to me and he said, Tom, pray for me. He had a cold. I go, "What? I have a cold." I said, "Well, I don't want to pray for you. Why not?" "Well, because you'll be the only person that has ever been prayed for healing of a cold and died." That's how it was. And then I was working at a place, and I had some Muslims that worked for me. They were Somalians, and they're very Islamic, very religious people, and they believe. And those of you who don't know, Islam believes that Jesus heals. Jesus is healer. So this guy gets hurt at work. Now, I hated to do paperwork. Gosh, I hate paperwork. I was a manager. And so I said, "Well, I believe that Jesus heals, and you believe that Jesus heals. Let's pray. So I prayed, and immediately his leg, he said, it's on fire. My leg's on fire. Well, it was figurative, but the heat of God came on his leg and healed his knee. And then I had a group of a number of people that came up for healing right after that. And other miracles had taken place. So I went from in the late 70s, where I didn't pray for anybody, to now I'm in the 2000s, and somebody gets healed. Praise God. And then he says, even greater miracles that I will do. I don't know what those miracles are. But we keep praying for the sick. We keep looking for signs and wonders and miracles to happen. I remember a woman, a friend of mine, her and her family were living here in Reading. And their house caught fire, and she lost some jewelry, chain, bracelets, rings, etc. And like her house totally burned to the ground, totally. And they went in. Bethel has this group of response people. They go in and they do an ash out. In other words, they look for things in the ash that may be valuable for them. Well, it turned out that they found her jewelry in the ash. It's a miracle. This is a timeless truth. These mighty miracles that Jesus does, we get to do. And then he steps it up and says, and greater. Look for the and greater for your life. And then he says this, because I go to be with my Father. In other words, he's ushering in the Holy Spirit to come and to be in us, not just on us, but in us. And he says this, how can we do these things? He says, for I will do whatever you ask me when you ask me in my name. I love this. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like. And be and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Now, I looked all this up, studied it, meditated on it, and you know, in the religious circles, we have this prayer that we put in that we say in Jesus' name at the end, in Jesus' name, as though that was it, but. You know, the thing is, he does want us to ask anything in his name. But what does that mean? Remember, in the Bible, the name was the character. It was the character of God. If you ask anything in Jesus' character, he will do it. Now, there are seven redemptive names of the Lord. Okay, one of them is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Another one is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Another one is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our refuge. Do you need refuge? Do you need victory? Go to Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. You ever feel alone? You ever feel like God is distant? Well, come to Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is near. The Lord is here. The Lord is our shepherd. Do you need guidance? Go to the Lord, our shepherd. Ask for that. He is El Roy, the mighty God, who sees you. Remember, Hagar called him that. So if you ask anything, if it's contained in his character, he will do it. He's not going to do, Lord, kill that guy. He ain't going to do it. And excuse me if I say this and it offends you, but hear this. If you say, God damn it, God's not going to damn anything. God doesn't damn things. God loves you. He cares about you. God is not going to damn. So that doesn't help. You know, we say, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So we think that cursing God's name is taking it in vain. And yes, it is. But take, you know, I believe too that taking God's name in vain is taking lightly what the name of God does. That's just as much taking the name of the Lord in vain. Ask anything in his name and he will do it for you. If it's contained in his character, he will do it for you. Doesn't maybe I'll get to it. He will do it for you. I've been praying for, I have a couple of siblings that aren't born again yet. I have, you know, and so I've been praying into that. I've been praying into my family. My mom and dad are passed away, but they were born again. Cousins, they're born again. And I keep praying that God will continually save my family. It took years. I believe that what's happening is that we have focused, the church has focused too much on the devil and what he can do instead of God and his power and what he can do. Now, we think that it's the devil against God. Now, that's not even a fight. Jesus shows up and the devil has to flee. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. The devil has to flee because he cannot stay in God's presence. Can't stand it. So we usher in the presence of God and the devil has to flee.
Well, how come Job, the devil gets to go to God in the throne?
Well, you got to understand the courts of heaven, and I'm studying into this. But the courts of heaven, you need a prosecuting attorney. You need somebody to bring accusation against you. And the devil is the one that does it. So he gets to go to the court and he says, Tom did this and Tom did that and Tom did, yeah, he did. But then God looks at the books and sees that it's washed in the blood of Jesus. He is our defense attorney. The Bible says this, 1 John chapter 2. He says that I'm writing these things so you don't sin. But if you do, you have an advocate, a defense attorney, Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. And Jesus stands up after the devil brings all these accusations, says, I have washed them in my blood. Now that doesn't give you permission to go ahead and sin, but it does give you like, wow, I made a mistake. Lord, forgive me. I made a mistake. If you confess your sin, he's faithful to forgive and to cleanse. Somebody's going to get that. That's a good word right there. And I looked up that word anything. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it. I looked up that word anything and it actually means, listen to this, actually means anything. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6 rather, the birds of the air, the flowers, they don't worry about what they're going to wear. The birds, they don't worry about where they're going to live, what they're going to eat, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they? And in this manner, Jesus is going to bring the Father glory. Amen. This is really good. I'm going to show what the Father is really like. Let men see your good works so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. I don't know if I should start this next part. No, I will. So, verse 15, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, another helper. The Greek word is parakletos, someone to walk alongside you. It's a technical word. It's a defense attorney. To stand next to you, to help you. Counselor, comforter, advocate, encourager, intercessor, or even helper. it doesn't really fit the Holy Spirit, encompass all that the Holy Spirit is. But he says that he's going to ask the Father, he's going to give you another another of the same kind. See, Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin. The Holy Spirit saves us from the power of sin by living his life through us, by living in us and through us in his fullness. The Holy Spirit of truth. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit of truth who will be with you, who will be to you a friend just like I am, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside you. Have you ever had situations with the Holy Spirit where people look at you weird, strange, like speaking in tongues? They look at you weird. Prophesying, they look at you weird. Are you a psychic? The world won't be able to receive him because they can't see him. In our society, we have to touch. There has to be a touch. He remains with us and in us. In Judges chapter, I don't remember what chapter it is, chapter 6 around there, Gideon, the story of Gideon. And it said that the Spirit came on Gideon. Now, the Spirit came upon Moses, the Spirit came upon Joshua, the Spirit came upon Belial to build the tent that they brought around, the tabernacle. In Gideon's case, the Bible says that the Spirit came upon Gideon, but actually that word means wore Gideon like a glove. It's one of the few times in the Old Testament that it actually shows that he was living in somebody. But because of the cross and because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can be living in us. So we talk about the baptism, to be dipped, to be not only dipped, but to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. But you will know him intimately. Not just know him, but know him deeply. The Bible talks about Adam knowing Eve. It talked about an intimate relationship with Eve so that she can conceive. The Holy Spirit wants to conceive in you the things of God. He wants to impregnate you with the things of God. And you, this way, you will know him intimately. And he will live with you. He will live inside you. And the world is going to hate it. Because with the Holy Spirit, you're walking in power and in might. Amen. We'll pick this up tomorrow. praise God. Well, God is amazing. He's good. He's powerful. He's doing great things in your life. I just want to remind you of a couple things. I'm going to be going to school next year. And I need people to support me. I need to raise $7,000. I want to be able to go. That includes the missions trip at the end of the year. But I need to raise $7,000. And I'm asking if you wouldn't mind. Go to tominsaraministries@gmail.com and I'll tell you how to give into that. Cash App, PayPal, Venmo. And it'll go right into my account at Bethel Church. It's the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And I'm asking you to invest into my life with that. Well, great. Praise God. God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you the next time.